Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome back, companions, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Balance conducts some interviews. Raoul gives his friend emotional support as Ortana receives news about her brother-in-law. Finally, en route to Elkin Marsh, the former criminals get to have some downtime. And in talking to their new friends, they discover their hidden talents and also learn of potential problems that our adventurers didn't realize they had. What can Homer transform into? How many lifetimes has Jens actually lived? And if true, what darkness did Demi take for Damas? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to the Lucky Die.
Okay, day two comes up bright and early. Balance, your watch was fairly uneventful.
The hell it was.
You got to see your watch was fairly uneventful. Whether you had a lot of mental baggage to go through, whether you were just checking facts and dates in your mind, or whatever it is that you were contemplating the future of the world. Either way, Rao's head is still in your lap and he's very comfy now. His hoodie's like pulled up over his head and he's just like bundled inside it and arms up around his head. He seems very comfortable, apart from when you had to move him to go to take your patrols. But yeah, everything seems nice and calm and quiet, and you got to see the sun come up, and it was a beautiful, glorious day. You can, guys, as you're waking up and you're either coming off the ground or wherever it is you decide you're getting up from, you'd see that there is a thin layer of like ice across the kind of like sandy, the kind of grass area that you're nearby to. That's the morning. Is there anything anyone wants to say or do before we roll you forward?
Not that I can think of.
Nope.
No, I think we're good. Just head out on the road.
On the road again. Homer goes inside at the end of his watch and basically is curled up within within the RC itself, just so that he's not in the sun. He seems to be happy there. Jens is also sitting inside the cart. She's not really one with the animals so much. So, you know, the three of you and occasionally Jens when she, you know, she's a little bit more sober, take charge of the animals and roll you forward. The area that you're passing through is slowly beginning to change from farmlands and wheat, small holdings, tiny little villages. It's slowly beginning to change. It's giving way to kind of like a more foresty area. The trees aren't particularly big. They're not the forest that you'd be used to up in Beligbud. Nothing like that. It's just very thin trees. It's beginning to get very moist and damp in the air. You're not in the marsh itself, but you can definitely tell that you're making your way towards that kind of wetter, not quite so nice area. The trees above, the foliage above is beginning to block out the sun. It's still dappled, but it's beginning to block it out. You stop and rest once or twice during the day, give the animals a chance to stretch, so kind of like warm down and eat and drink. And you guys, you know, relax and, you know, have your daytime eating, drinking. I assume Raoul is going to be practicing with his swords.
Are we sword practicing?
He's got plenty of time.
Would you like Zoltana to do some teaching?
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. You can strike another day as we go into montage mode when everyone else is like brushing down the horses and making food and drink, and like, you know, Jens is there like drinking it up. And as we like go through this montage of the day, we see Zoltana and Rao just like, you know, going at each other with swords. Yep, you can strike another day off of your proficiency list.
I imagine it's like super anime style.
Yes. Oh my God. Just really intense and dramatic.
Just like clanging of swords, like flashing of steel all over the place.
And it's totally not embarrassing at all for Raul to be fighting, like training, fighting in front of fourfold people on a weapon that he's fucking useless with. Totally not embarrassing.
Well, the Earth Dark Gnome is inside the RC, so he can't see you. And Jens is probably a little too drunk to care. The moment she got up this morning, she started drinking. She sees you two like fighting and occasionally will throw out ideas or start throwing little fire bolts at the ground for you to dodge whilst you're fighting. She's giving you bad
footwork. Footwork.
Yeah.
Nosebleed.
You have to, it's like dancing. I don't really know. I used to fight with swords, but no more. Like just move more. And she just keeps throwing you do really good at dodging them, but it kind of hinders your sword work a little bit, but you still manage like strike a dave of your proficiency need. Oh, it's just so dumb. And then we go back to you guys traveling through the evening. As you're traveling through, and the branches are kind of like creating like a tunnel effect, so it looks like you're walking through a tunnel of trees. As you're beginning to walk through, you can't see any light above you. I mean, the sun is beginning to set, so it's pretty low anyway, but you can't really see much beyond like 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 feet because of how thick this kind of like tunnel effect of these like leaves and vines and stuff is. And it creates like it begins to turn off to one side, begins to branch around to the right. And as you begin to turn this and you begin to see a bit further down the road, you see ahead of you that there is a dwarven lady. She has her cloak up and she's kind of like staggering forward. You can't see any real details on this apart from that, you know, she seems to be moving slowly and almost stilted, as if she's not, you know, she's either really cold and just can't move properly, or, you know, her joints have seized up. She seems to be traveling alone. Whoever wants to be leading the animals at this point, take a perception check for me.
That would definitely be Raul. Balance bad with animals.
I'm not good at animals, but I will take one anyway.
16.
16.
14.
Go ahead, dude.
What?
Roll perception as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what if I thought?
16.
Three of you. Okay. The four of you notice that this woman is, sorry, the three of you notice that this woman is kind of like walking in a very odd manner, as if like she's a marionette. Mm-hmm. So like her movements is very stiff. She's not bending her knees very much. Her arms don't seem to be like swinging properly. And as you guys get a bit closer, you begin to notice that on the ground, that there seems to be almost like a blood smear, like a blood like patter. It's not ahead of her. It's behind her. You can't really see her properly because she has this like this cloak, this hood up, but you can see this like blood trailing up to where she is. She's probably about 40 feet ahead of you at this point.
Okay.
Balance is going to tell Rawl to slow the horses and then telepathically ping the two passengers that we might have company.
Yeah, Rawl seeing that is getting a bit spooked. He stops the horses completely and becomes very passive in his control of where the cart goes and probably just like gets in the back of the cart.
Again, imagine like a RV. So like, it's not just like jumping in the back of the cart with an open top. Like you would have to go around to the entrance at the other side. Like,
damn it.
This is not okay. A cart. This is a recreational cart.
Yeah, Rawl looks scared. That's all Rawl he's going to do though. I'm not going to fucking get out of the cart.
Rawl looks nervous. Okay,
I'm not getting out of the cart.
I assume that the two peeps in the back are aware then?
Yes, yeah, they've responded in kind. Like, well, I guess I'll be putting my claw card. And Jen's like, I'm there. And you just like hear like ruckus in the back as like she begins to move and make her way outside.
Balance is going to tell him telepathically to hold until there's need for them.
Like Jen's is already like halfway out and climbing on top of the cart.
Okay.
Like on the roof, but just like laying down flat so she can see what's going on.
Okay. Balance is going to stand up and say, "Ma'am, has something befallen you? Are you all right?
You want to talk to it? Okay.
Well, yeah, when you call it,
are you talking?
That makes me question.
No, there's no it. I mean, you know. You don't know what it is.
uh-huh, yeah, okay.
as you're looking over and you call out, standing up on like the ledge at the front, the creature, the dwarven woman stops just in their tracks and they slowly begin to like shuffle and turn. But they don't turn enough so that you can see their face. You just see that their head has turned and they say,
"I'm okay. You travel forward. I move out of your way."
Can I get a read on their aura?
Sure.
See, something feels off. 21 insight.
Yeah, something's off. This is not the "I'm concerned about what's going on. I don't want to be a burden. I'm in pain." No, this reeks. Like, you look at them and their aura is wrong. This is not an aura of a living being. This is an aura of something not good. This is an aura of menace and manipulation. Like, the colours are very dark purple and very dark red. You can just see in the way they're moving that everything is a little too scripted. They are trying to pay on a sympathy and let you pass for nefarious reasons.
Zoltana is going to whisper to Balance, "Should I try talking to her in Dwarvish and see what happens?"
"This is not whatever that is. I don't believe that's just your standard dwarf. There's something off. Her aura is very dark."
"Should we just pass and let it be?"
"I think that's exactly what it wants."
At this point, by you two chatting, like, the dwarven lady, if that is indeed what she is, or it is, has made its way to the side of the road. They're kind of like in that little camber down in tree line so that you can pass through.
Should we attack an old lady?
"No, I'm going to use exacting query on her."
"Sure, link it."
"As an action, you target one creature you can communicate with via telepathy. So if I can communicate with her via telepathy, then this works. And if it doesn't work, then that still gives me an answer. Target must make an intelligence saving throw. On a failed save, the target truthfully answers one question you ask it via telepathy."
All right. So that's an int save of 15.
Yep, DC 15.
All right. I fancy its chances. Her chances. Oh, she passes spectacularly.
Hmm. Well, Balance is going to ask the question regardless. "What is your intention here? Why are you on this road?"
"I find myself Here. I am making my way to find a meal.
And what is it you consider to be a meal?
Meats and flesh.
What are you? Truthfully.
I am just an old, eccentric dwarf lady.
Never trust anyone who describes themselves as eccentric.
You're not fooling anyone.
What I am is none of your business.
Your intentions are, and your vibe that you're giving me right now is not one of a pure intention.
The old dwarf lady begins to make her way through kind of like the thickets and the vines that make up the wall of this kind of like foresty tunnel thing. She's heading in your direction, like the leaves and the vines and stuff are a little too thick to make her face out clearly. But she just makes her way a little closer to you along this thing. So she's almost level with the horses. The horses feel spooked, like Raoul holding onto their reins. Like you can just feel them like taking steps back, but not actually. They're well trained. They won't take steps away unless you really make them.
Remain where you are.
They definitely want to.
Or we will attack.
They stand still.
What is your intention?
To feast.
Can I get a read if that's directed at us?
Take an insight check.
I have a feeling she's some sort of creepy monster.
Really?
Crazy.
18 insight.
Yes, that's aimed at you.
Balance is going to telepathically give a signal to Jens to open fire.
She misfires. Okay.
No, don't do that. She doesn't have a gun.
Let's not do this.
She can't misfire with a gun.
She can if she's doing firebolt. Spell attack, yeah.
That's fair.
Okay, you're sending a message. Okay, I guess this means combat has started, guys. Just a poor, innocent old lady.
No, it's not.
You're just firing on her.
No, it's not. Initiative.
It's fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
Everyone. All right. Roll 20. What's happening right now?
Okay.
What is going on?
I need to roll independent of Jens.
Gazoonies.
Oh, Jens did not do good.
No. Do we get surprise attack, though?
Wow.
Jens does, yeah.
She's so done.
What? I usually have such good rolls. God damn it, Arch, stop stealing my roll 20 good rolls.
Yes, give to me your high rolls.
Oh, damn. Okay.
I will not stand for this.
Also, Casey, do keep in mind that your movement speed is a lot higher because you're on a wolf.
I am on a wolf.
Can't attack from a wolf. She doesn't have mounted combat.
I think you can fight from the back of a wolf. I don't think the feat's required for it.
It's not, but it's basically a disadvantage or some other bullshit.
Is it?
I'm not going to fight off the back of Karuna. I don't want her coat to get tarnished by the blood of this old lady.
It's a wolf.
We got fun at games. She still counts as a mount, though. Okay, right, so let's go with... Jen's got a 9, but she does have, like, the surprise round. The creature I'm currently naming IA.
Grandma.
21. Grandma. Okay. Casey, what did Zoltana get?
Zoltana got 2.
Oh boy.
Oh boy is correct.
Raoul.
I got a 20. Not natural.
Okay. The other one, balance.
I got a nat 20, a 22.
All right.
I got 2 of Zoltana's.
Stop it.
Also, V, did you just add in an Eldritch Grandma just because of that joke from the last episode? Is that what this is?
No.
Is this Eldritch Grandma?
No, it's just not Eldritch Grandma.
Are you sure?
This is something far worse.
It's Eldritch Great Grandma.
All right, so let's fire up Jens, shall we? Let's find out what stupid shit Jens is going to do. All right, you tell her to fire. She has been preparing some sort of fiery shit. And as soon as I open her spell list, I will tell you what she does.
Good thing we brought the firepower.
Okay, there's only so long that I can do. Okay, you see her lift her thumb. Lift her hand in front of her, clench her fist and put her thumb up. And you just see her, like, take three really big breaths and kind of yawn. And you see these three scorching rays fly up.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yikes,
spell
Grandma,
attack.
Yikes.
She going down. Spells. Oh, boy, that's a huge plus to attack. Oh, that was a natural one, so that one fails.
No.
That's a 20-something, so I'm going to assume that hits. And that's a 14, and that fails. All right, so one of these hits, and you see, like, these, like, two rays of fire just, like, blast either side of what you're currently calling Eldritch Grandma, and the other one just takes her squarely in the face. I'm going to say that the extra beams basically clear out enough these vines that you'll be able to see what she looks like when this firestorm goes off. Oh, that's good. She rolled 2 sixes. Okay, so yeah, you see 12 points of damage. Oh, wait. Oh, and it's vulnerable. You basically see this fire just go massively off in this chest, and she even looks surprised at what she's done. And as you see the smoke beginning to clear away from the impact on this, like, old dwarven lady, as you would assume, the light that is cast by the fire, you begin to see her very, very clearly now. This is an old dwarven lady. You can see that her legs are broken. One of her leg is broken and mangled. You can see the blood, the dried blood on her leg. But what you notice most of all is that her eyes are white. They're the white that your eyes go when there's no life inside. You can see that her chin is broken and hanging loosely. You can see that her clothes are torn and shredded. But what you see most disturbingly are these tiny little, let's say, wasp-type entities that are glowing a white colour. And you can see the evidence of how the skin of this poor woman has been frozen over. As you see these things begin to trail all over her body, they seem to be manipulating her limbs to move forward, and you can see this entity inside, and as she kind of, like, tips her head back and opens her mouth wider, you can see a small stream of these kind of whitey, icy, waspy creatures emit, crawl over her skin and begin to disappear into her hairline behind her cloak. So that was Jen's go. I'm going to say she's about 20 feet away. Top of the round.
That's me?
Yep. Oh, go for
shit.
It.
All right. Okay. Well, you said there's a bunch of these, like, nasty looking bug things all over?
Oh, yeah.
All over her? Or like, are they spreading out?
They're basically all over her. They're essentially, they're animating her body.
Oh, lovely.
This is a swarm? Ew.
Yeah.
All right. She's 20 feet away?
Yeah, I guess say 20 feet.
Cool. I'm going to do a thing that I haven't done.
Uh-oh.
I am going to
I dread all of these.
Move to the side so that the only thing in front of me is her.
Uh-huh.
And all these nasty bug things. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to Psychic Blast.
Okay.
It is a giant 60-foot cone of psychic go fuck yourself. Oh, that's a lot of damage. So as an action, you unleash devastating psychic energy in a 60-foot cone. Each creature in that area must make an intelligence saving throw, taking 8d8 psychic damage on a fail, or half as much on a success.
Okay, so I'm hearing into that saving throw. That's a 10.
DC is 15, so that is 34 psychic damage.
34.
Damn.
Balance got that AoE, yo.
All right. So the creature, it seems to be doing not quite as much damage to the host as you would expect. Just gonna give you that.
Anything to the bugs?
You see a couple of them, like, fall out of her mouth dead. The equivalent of say like 17 of them.
Yikes.
I'm just giving that is. I think it'd be unfair if I didn't explain how this thing works.
Okay, these things are considered part of a single entity, not multiple.
Essentially, what this creature does is it can split the damage between the host and the swarm.
Yikes.
Gotcha. Fantastic. Okay. And then whatever movement I have, I'm going to move back along the side of the cart.
Back along the side of the cart. Yeah, that's fine. You're totally able to do that. All right. Yeah, you see this thing like lift its... basically, instead of like normally where it would grab its head and like, oh God, balance is giving me a headache. No, this thing just opens its mouth wider and you see these some of these dead like ice wasps hit the ground. Okay. It's now its go. You see this creature lift its... basically animate the hand upwards. You see the ice wasps begin to form a ball in its hand and it expands and expands. And it throws the ball forward. I need all of you to make dexterity saving throws, please.
All of us?
Ah.
Yep, every single one of y'all.
Fantastic.
11.
16.
Oh, shit. 11.
Well, the save is a 15.
So only me.
The so heavy armor-wearing dwarf succeeded.
Fuck you. Jens also failed.
Hold on. We get Zoltana's thing.
You do. Yes.
It doesn't matter. That still puts us at only 14.
You're right.
Yeah, it's a 15. Oh, but that does mean Jen saves. So, sweet. Oh. I assume you consider an ally.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Okay.
And Homer's inside?
Yeah, he's fine, yeah.
Okay. So he's going to break the cart.
Not our RV.
We just got this.
Jesus Christ. On a D6, most of these rolls are ones and twos.
Good.
All right, so those of you who failed, you take 26. I'm going to say flavor text. We all know it's a fireball. It's an ice ball. You guys take 26 ice cold damage, whatever you want to call it.
That's the half?
Everyone passes takes 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you guys failed. Oh, no, you guys passed, right?
No, you guys failed.
And
Neil failed. Failed.
Yeah, Fold. So yep. You take 26 cold. And Zoltana and Jens take 13.
13 damage.
Oh, man.
Because it's not fire, your RC isn't set on fire.
Oh, man. That's real bad.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, and our max HP thing from the Heroes Feast is gone, isn't it?
That's toasted, yeah. That's very, very gone.
And Zoltana, you also get plus one to all your saving throws because of the Cloak of Protection, if you haven't already.
Yep. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Oh, yeah, because you already have it.
Yeah, Rawl's wearing his cloak as pants, by the way.
Yeah, no, the plus one is already counted into Casey's and yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've done it. Yeah, you did it for me because I couldn't do it myself.
Yep.
Okay, it is now Rawl's go.
Okay. Well.
It didn't move, by the way.
How far away is it?
20 feet.
Man, I don't want to get close to it.
That's really unfortunate for your class.
It is. I could breath weapon it, but it wouldn't do as much. So I think Rawl does kind of look around, and it's clear that this is very much a panic decision and not a bravery decision. But he's going to run in.
Oh, no, I don't know what to do running at it.
He jumps off of the cart, and I'm going to acrobat through the air and kicker.
Okay.
So I get two attacks.
Plus the bonus, and then if you key point, it's another.
So I get... Yes. Okay.
Three or four.
Do three or four. Yeah.
I'll spend a key point and do four.
Okay. That's a good plan.
21 to hit for 9.
That hits.
22 to hit for 7.
So you're double kicking her?
I land the first one, and then I bloop, plop down, and I'm gonna do a punch. And then...
Okay. Punch!
She's a dwarf, right? 24 to hit for 5?
Yep.
Yeah, I do like a swinging side kick. And then 26 to hit for 6. Damn!
Jesus Christ! Dude! Boy! Boy!
27 damage.
That one just pops her in the face, because fuck it. I mean, I hit all of those above 20. I feel like I have to hit her in the face once because of that.
You're just going to slap her or just like punch her?
Is that 27 damage?
Yeah.
It's pretty good for me. I'm happy.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah, it's good. Okay. There is a thing he can do, but I'm going to hold on to that. Sorry, it's her. Yeah. They. There's a thing it can
would
do.
Would that be real fucked up if I did a stunning strike on it to prevent that from happening?
Don't you have to declare your stuns first?
Do I?
I don't know. Click your ability and I'll make a decision.
We can just say that that's the case.
When you hit it. Yeah, so you can do it after it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, then on that last one, because I will say that, yeah, it's fair that I should announce them after each hit. Yeah, after that that last hit, I'll make a stunning strike and see if that passes.
All right, so the con save of 14. Well, that was a natural 2.
Oh, boy.
It's stunned.
Sure is. Well, guys.
I'm just going to bring up the stunned.
Rob did the thing.
Let's go,
Rob
guys.
Rob did a thing.
Let's
he did
go.
A thing. We're so proud of him. A stunned creature is incapacitated, can't move, and can only speak falteringly. The creature automatically fails strength and dex saves. Attack rolls against the creature have advantage.
We're on us how to fight dwarves.
That's true. Can't take actions or reactions. All right, man. Okay. All right, it can't do fuck all in its next round. I'm just going to put a little X next to its name so I don't forget.
Well, I won't let you.
I know you won't, but just in case. All right. Okay. It is now Zoltana's go. You have a slightly stunned-looking ice waspy creature in front of you.
Is it slightly? You're doing that thing again where you, like, put the name, put, like, your less cool thing in front of the cool thing that I did. It doesn't, it's not the thing that I did. It's not slightly stunning strike.
Okay, what you see is like a bunch of wasps like in a circle around its head. Like
yes,
no. All right, you basically see
like when someone gets knocked out in a cartoon and there's birds.
Yes,
except this isn't really happening. You just see a bunch more of these like waspy things hit the ground. Like you see like the punch to the face, and almost as if he's just punched all of the wasps out of the jaw. They've just gone flying out into the darkness. All right, Zoltana.
Well, I am going to use that to my advantage, and I'm going to do some attacks with Kalid's really great greatsword.
Go for it. You jump off the cart or off of Karina. Jesus, guys. Basically, each hit has advantage because it's stunned. So you can roll again in case you get a natural 20.
So do another 2.
You didn't. So we had 13 and 21. So 21, yeah, that hits. So that'd be 8 damage. So that's 12 more damage. So that's 2 hits. That's all of your hits, right?
It would be if I wasn't about to do...
Oh, no.
Bring down the holy thunder on this wasp-ass bitch.
There it is.
Are you smiting both of them?
Yes.
A wise decision.
Is it a fiend or undead?
Oh, that's an exceptionally good question. It is, in fact, not a fiend, nor is it undead.
It is, in fact, a bunch of bugs.
Technically, it is a large swarm of tiny somethings.
It is a swarm of wasps wearing a trench coat.
That's the worst.
You're actually not far from the truth there. Except it's wearing a dwarf. All right, so, okay.
You have literally created my worst nightmare. Like, I am really terrified of bugs, and specifically of, like, flying bugs. And, like, the idea of a ton of... I'm assuming this is a ton of wasps wearing a dead person.
Yes.
And that is literally my worst nightmare. And yes. I thought I couldn't have any more worst nightmare from a podcast, but nope. No, I'm going to have literal nightmares about this. This is terrifying. And
you're welcome, and I might need to make a note of this.
God fucking damn it. Okay.
So
fiend or undead.
You slash twice. Yeah, it's not a fiend nor is it undead. You slash twice with Cal the truly great, great sword. And as you swing down and hard to the left, you see a flash of his brilliance.
Was it 2d8?
No, sorry, not tier. You don't. No, you do tier. Yeah
I'm tier. So it's 12 altogether.
As you see this flash of lightning come down with your streak of like basically following your blade, you guys see that it
Zoltana, you know that it does the damage that you would expect it to. Like, you see that damage you would expect it to see it take.
And so as you're telling me is that Zoltana is aware this is not a fiend or undead?
Yes. You're aware that you don't do extra damage, but you're aware it's doing the damage it should be. Okay, so that's your first Divine Smite. What about the second one?
No, no, that was both of them. I did them both together. Okay. I just thought it'd be easier. I was like, oh, I'll roll 2d8. Because it's 1d8
wait,
per.
Wait, so Divine Smite? Oh, it is one. Okay.
Unless I wanted to do it at a higher level, but I'm not. I was doing it at first level.
Okay, and it takes another 12 damage. All right.
How is this nightmare wasp woman looking?
You have helped remove its jaw.
Yes.
There are a lot of dead wasps everywhere, and sometimes as you've like swung and swung again, you see that as you like the blade was going out, the lightning from the strike just like took some of these bugs out midair because you know why not? Okay. It is now. That was Sultana. Jen's. Oh, it's Jen's go. Fuck yeah.
Pray. Get it.
Wait, Jen's got
get
worse
it.
Than a two?
Does she? You only got a two?
Yeah.
Oh, in that case, yeah, I had you definitely the wrong way around.
Whoops.
My bad.
I was like, is Jen's just
that's
going?
Fine. Do you know what? I'm just going to say I'm going to let it be. Like, that's the order. Jen's, for whatever reason, she got distracted. Like, she's like, oh, that's cool. Oh, wait, I should be killing this. Okay.
She is drunk.
She's a little drunk.
She's like that Jackie Chan movie, The Drunken Master, or whatever it's called.
Okay. Seeing that Zoltana had as much success with lightning, you see her stand up tall. She puts her hand in the air, and you feel like a static charge, like building up in the air. And as you kind of turn to look at her, you see her hair just like thrown back with a static charge. She throws her hand forward, and you see this chain lightning appear from her hand and just go smack this creature square in the chest. It needs to make a dexterity saving throw. And I think it's failed.
Fucking chain lightning. Holy shit.
It succeeds. Its dexterity save is pretty high. Okay. Well, it fails, but it still takes 10d8 lightning damage, so. For 30 damage. she rolled so many sevens and eights according to Roll20.
Holy shit.
And what would have been a very effective use of chain lightning, because the creature kind of like its nature of it being a swarm just kind of like parts around it, and you see like half of this charge has exploded into the tree behind this creature. It still takes a hefty 30 lightning damage though. And it takes 30 lightning damage. Alright, okay. It's now the top of the round. It's balances go.
Hi.
Hi.
So Zoltana's up in that bitch, right?
Don't say
oh, yeah.
it like that. Jesus
Zoltana
Christ.
And Rel are
in the good
up
way.
In this creature.
It's all not
right. You're up it with a sword. That's what we need
it
to
doesn't...
know.
It doesn't
Zoltana's in its grill, in its face.
There we go.
It's grill.
Don't say yeah. I'm up in her with a sword. Just
I mean, that is kind of the point of the sword, is to put it in the thing.
Okay, so
until it stops moving.
Okay, balance.
Hi.
What are you doing?
I'm just gonna look at Zoltana and say, keep hitting it until it's dead. And I'm just gonna command a striker.
Okay.
So three psi points, Zoltana. It's still stunned, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Zoltana, two attacks with advantage.
Oh, no, wait, the stunned thing. I think it means it has disadvantage.
It does have disadvantage on dex saves.
Oh, no, it automatically fails,
oh,
so it takes 60 damage.
Oh, shit. Ooh. Oh, burr.
This thing is still alive, I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Well, in that case, Zoltana, kill it with your two megaswords.
I don't have a megazord.
No, megasword.
I know, I was...
Use the advantage button for God damn it.
Okay, so you swing left, you swing right, or you swing down, and you do 16 damage in total, so halved is 8.
Are you going to smite? I'm going to branding smite.
Wait, halved?
Yeah.
What halved?
Slash. Punch.
Oh.
Psychic. Like, all that shit gets halved.
I can smite, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can smite.
I'm gonna do a branding smite. I don't know why I really want this to just make my nightmares worse by making this wasp woman fucking
glow. You can't take
glow.
A bonus action is the only thing.
Well, that is a bonus action.
Yeah,
smiting in general is a bonus action.
No, regular smite is a free action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then I will regular smite it. But I'm going to do it at a level 2 and do 2d8.
Could you technically double smite? Have a wrathful smite and then do a regular smite?
Yeah, technically.
Oh my god.
And I also do have wrathful smite.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a 14, which does not get halved.
Yep, she does the whole 14. You guys just see like lightning just going off next to you. Rao, you're just sort of standing in here like pew, 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 and just like going off next to you.
And you just hear Zoltana go, "I fucking hate bugs." Why did it have to be bugs?
It's true.
All right, this thing is looking shitty, but it's still upright.
Bonus action, I'm going to switch to my psychic assault focus.
Okay.
Just in case, and that is it for me. Cool. I'm gonna take cover behind the cart.
Good plan. You go and run and hide. The creature can't do anything but comes to its senses at the end of this round. Like, you just... It has been electrocuted so much, like, stunned, knocked out. Sorry. Like, punched so hard that a swarm gets stunned. Because it's Ral. A swarm gets stunned because it's Rao. It then gets electrocuted and gets like, kind of like, huh, I could do a thing. Gets electrocuted like basically 4 more times to the point where it's just like, I'm now conscious and awake. But it can't do anything this round. So, Rao.
All right, well, what it's going to see when it first comes to for that second of not being attacked is Rao trying to stunning strike the shit out of it again. So, Rao just screaming, ah!
Punching it in the face. Just go see, back to
you,
sleep.
You see its like dead eyes looking towards you, and I just like to see that Rao and Apat is like, no.
So 13 on the first.
Fails swing. To hit.
Yeah. Oh. 17 on the second.
That one hits.
For 7 damage, I'm going to go ahead and need a. God, I hope we don't do anything after this. I'm going to go ahead and do a stunning strike.
Okay, what kind of save?
Con save.
13?
14.
Ah! Okay. Jesus!
So.
Well, it would appear it's stunned again.
Okay, and it's going to get punched 2 more times.
With advantage.
That's so cool. I'm throwing around
you
it.
You are correct about that. With advantage, that's 16.
Yeah, that hits.
And I'll actually hit the advantage button for this one. That's 9 damage on that 16. And the last one is 16 for 5 damage.
Yeah, that hits. Okay. Well, motherfucker. I mean, it's still standing, but it's more like... It's just like, you just see like, for those of you seeing from afar, not the bands, because he's hiding behind a cart now, but you could just see like maybe 1 or 2 of these like cold wasp bugs just like crawling from like the eye socket like down to the nose, but most of them are dead and gone now, dude. Like, fucking motherfucker. Okay. I guess it's Sultana's go.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, dude.
You did a fireball out of the gate. Of course I'm going to stunning strike it forever after that.
Same shit.
All right. You see Zoltana basically stab forward for a 25, which hits. That's an 8. And oh, wait, no, is that right? 25 is 9 damage, and then another 8 damage. So basically you just like slice forward twice, and that's for 17.
I'm gonna do a branding smite because I can do an action thingy.
Alright, next time you hit a creature with a weapon attack before the spell ends, the weapon gleams with astral radiance as you strike. The attack deals an extra 2d6 radiance to the target, which becomes visible if it's invisible, and the target sheds a dim light. Can't become invisible.
I just really want the wasps to glow. Me, Casey.
You know what?
Just wants to be more terrified and have glowing,
let's,
a glowing swarm of dead people inhabiting wasps.
Yeah, cool. So, like, in this kind of, like, slightly dark, dappled, sun-setting way, we're in this, like, tunnel made of, like, vines and leaves and trees and shit. You see this this kind of, like, dead corpse of an old dwarven lady with these, like, ice wasps crawling around inside her with now an ethereal glow to it. Thank you, Casey. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I figured if we're going to go into my nightmares, I'm just going to make it as bad as humanly possible.
That's perfect. You still haven't killed it.
Can I have an inspiration for making it more terrifying?
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yes, you may. Because this is a thing of nightmares, and you made it 10 times worse.
Yes. Good. I should get something for making my life more miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. It is now Jen's go. Fuck. All right, Jen's. She could do that again, but that would be boring. All right, fuck it. Jens is standing up there. Her hand has like gone down, like her hair is slowly beginning to return, like down, like, you know, her hood got blown back in the static charge. And you just see her like basically just like link her fingers together and like crack the knuckles. And then point her hands out forward. And you see this green ray shoot forward.
Ooh.
And it needs to take a dexterity save.
No, it's good.
Which natural 20s.
Fuck.
Oh, no, it doesn't. It automatically fails.
No, it doesn't.
Because Ral stunned the fucker. Ral, you may not do a lot of damage, but you're the biggest pain in my ass.
It's almost like fucker. That's my job.
To be the pain in the ass.
All right. Okay. As you see a ray shoot out towards it, and I'm going to use the roller again because this is a lot of damage.
A ray Romana. A whole ray Romana.
It's a ray something. All right. As you see a green disintegrating ray just shoot out from her cracked knuckles and hit this thing square in the chest because Ralph fucking stunned the bastard. It's not a piercing damage.
One might say 71 points of damage.
One might say 71 points of damage.
Holy shit.
All right, this thing. Yep, this thing's not looking good. I love Archie's face right now. As you see this green ray shooting out, and one minute you see a very stunned-looking bunch of wasps, which are glowing ethereally, and as they're there, you just suddenly see the body disintegrate into a pile of ash, and you see the insect swarm just, like, spin around in circles, and as it tries to get away from this green beam, the green beam just, like, shoots out, targets them, and they just trickle into dust. Ral, I fucking hate you. You've killed this thing.
Oh.
It didn't get to do its cool things! Damn it!
Balance, I found the bug! And the Ral passes out.
Oh.
Yeah, Ral passes out. Actually, no, he doesn't quite pass out, I'm afraid.
Does he not?
No. As you see this thing die in front of you, you see the aspect of death. It's like, you've seen death before, but this is... I guess because of the swarm nature, you're seeing so many tiny little creatures die all at once, plus this woman die who was technically already dead and disintegrate. You feel that touch of death. You know what death looks like. You know what death smells like. You know what death feels like.
Your best friend.
You know what death looks like. Yeah, death is your friend. And as you look there and you understand, like, oh, this is death. This is no body. This is instant cremation kind of death. There's no remains here. You get a cold feeling on your back. And I need everyone who is within 60 feet. Is it 60 foot?
That's nope. Probably all of us, isn't it?
Yeah. Probably.
I don't think it is 60 foot. I may need to retract that. Aha! Each creature within 30 feet. So Zoltana for sure. Jens for sure. Ral. No balance. Oh, balance, you may not be affected because you're hiding behind something.
I was behind the cart.
Yeah, you're hiding like a wuss.
Nuh-uh. It's called strategy.
Mm-hmm.
We're not retreating, we're advancing in a different direction.
You're hiding. I just need to check a thing.
You say tomato,
it's just presence or whether it's vision. Ah, no, so in fact, just Zoltana and Jens. As what you see is... something dark erupt from Raoul's back. Zoltana, you're the closest. You can see the flesh beginning to disappear as if his acid is dissolving it around his lower maw. And you can see his eyes are still his, but the rest of his flesh and his body is gone. You can see that his hoodie has turned into a very dark, dark cape. You can see the wrappings that are technically, I guess, his new cloak basically blend into his legs, and you just see the skeletals. And you see branch out behind him, this cloak, very much like a set of wings, much like the Spectre had. I need you to take a wisdom saving throw.
Okay, I mean...
Raoul is... What happened to Raoul?
You don't know yet. What did you get?
I got an 8.
Technically an 11. Technically.
I got an 11.
Well, Jens did technically the same. all right, I just need to check out exactly what this condition does.
What the fuck?
As you basically see Raoul turn into this strange kind of specter hybrid with Raoul, you become frightened. This is Death Incarnate standing right next to you. This motherfucker directly standing next to you. You can't get any closer to Raoul right now. He's just emanating fear. You currently have disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while he's in line of sight.
I have
for like all of 6 seconds. Because I believe it's one round that this lasts, right?
Yeah, it's just real fast, I believe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have disadvantage.
Yeah, so for like the next 6 seconds, you have disadvantage on everything, but that's nothing here to affect you.
Is that literally, that's just a turn, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's just one turn. And combat has ended. You see this, and then you basically don't want to get any closer to him. You're terrified of what Raoul has just turned into. You hear equally disturbed noises coming from Jens on top of the cart, who basically just jumps off the cart and sits and hides down next to Balance. And then at the end of these like 6 seconds, you just begin to see Raoul fade back into who he is, how you remember him, how you see him, how Raoul normally is. Raoul, you went through something. You felt your body change. You felt something happen. You feel that touch of death, that moment, that instinct of seeing something die. You just emanated it from your presence. Like, oh, what the, how did I do that? That's basically where you're at as the thing that we keep forgetting to do because you've never triggered it. And I thought, fuck it, you're going to be triggering it now. As Raoul finally has access to Hour of Reaping, where he can make things frightened. You just have to remember to use it yourself now.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
don't wait for me to tell you you have it. You should have told me you had it and then would have described this cool thing, but you didn't.
Speaking of abilities that Neil forgot about, Neil, you have evasion and you got an ice ball dropped on your face. Just so you're, aware. Yeah, that means you take half damage.
Yeah, if you succeed in evasion, you take no damage. If you fail, you only take half damage.
Oh, okay. I thought you have the same shit that rogues have. Okay.
No. Yeah, you basically
right.
Nothing
happened. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I'm doing slightly.
But he forgot that, so he takes the damage. That's Raoul forgetting that he can dodge stuff. There you go. This is what happens. You see Raoul turn back into his normal, cheery self.
Balance pokes his head around the cart. Did we win? Are we good?
What the fuck?
What? I was back here. What
the fuck?
Raoul looks like he's like snapping out of it. And he just like looks at you and looks back down and like does a double take.
Raoul. What?
I was having a moment.
The fuck?
What?
What the fuck?
Balance comes around the front of the cart. What happened?
Raoul.
Raoul's just looking down and scratching his head, like looking at the thing, like he's not sure what she's talking about.
She just gestures at Raoul, like...
Raoul's just shrugging his shoulders.
Because she just saw him disappear into nothing, right?
Yeah, you basically saw him turn into a Raoul version of the Spectre, but he retained his eyes. That was the only thing.
I don't even know how to describe what the... God damn it, what the hell?
Use your words.
Jens just, like, pops a head around the cart, sees that Raoul is back to normal, and is like, now... I was either really, really drunk.
I need to sit down.
Or you looked dead. Like, dead.
No, that's exactly correct about what happened just then.
Rell just pops down and takes a seat.
Did you die?
Did the Spectre what? Show up?
Rell?
I didn't see him.
Was the Spectre?
What?
No.
Oh, that's deep.
Well, no, it's a long story.
I mean, it could be deep. Maybe the whole time that we've been doing all this, Rell has actually been the Spectre all along.
What?
And I feel like I'm really confused. I'm really confused. Why did you look dead?
I didn't die.
Follow-up question. Where's Homer?
Homer's inside the car.
Homer!
He just pops his head out. You guys, like, killed this thing so quickly. Like, he was just like, whatever. Homer jumps out of the car, like, no, no, you took care of it.
Would have gone a lot smoother if you helped.
Well, I considered it, but you guys were doing really well. I think you did a good job.
I'll consider that when we get to time of payment.
Well, I'm acting as a guide. If I die now, you're going to find it very difficult down in the earth. Do you know, it doesn't really matter. You did a good job.
So, I guess you have something new that you can do, Rell? Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know what's going on.
What in the great fucking googly moogly?
What the fuck did you just say?
I think she's saying ask Google.
Sounds like you said something from a children's cartoon.
Okay, so...
I don't know what that means.
Your undead thingy. Can you not do that around me? Because that was... I didn't like that very much.
I don't know what happened. I'll try. I guess. I don't know. What was it?
You looked super dead, dude. Like, I wouldn't even touch that kind of dead.
I'm not, though.
Well, no, I can tell you're alive. I mean, you have flesh and blood now.
Oh.
Rell just takes note that everyone was scared of him and just looks confused.
I mean, it wasn't so much scared as it was concerned for.
Oh, I was frightened. She offers Zoltana, like, one of her bottles of clear booze.
Zoltana will take it.
Uh-huh. So, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little concerned by this. How about you stay away from me and I won't set you on fire?
Like, listen, Jens. Don't threaten Rell. He's a good guy. And if he accidentally turns into a ghost sometimes, that's just his quirk. He's not going to hurt you. And if you set him on fire, I'm going to have to set you on fire. Or slash you with the sword.
Well, I'm not going to lie.
And I like you, so I don't want to do that.
She puts her arm on your shoulder like, I'm not going to lie. I think adding the word, phrase, sometimes a ghost on the list of personality quirks. Do you know what? I've seen worse. Fuck it. I'm glad you're on our side. Just don't you and I'm gonna go have a drink. But that just like begins to wander away.
Right. Well, Jens, I don't suppose you know what that was while you're walking away, do you?
She stops. She turns and looks at you. Just like shrugs her shoulders. Like,
Can I go?
Talking about the crazy keepy lady.
Oh, the lady. Hang on, let me think. You are also able to, if you guys want to, you can take a survival check or whatever.
I'm trained in Arcana.
Nah, it wouldn't really be Arcana.
No.
Is there a body left here?
The old lady's body is there. She's been dead a while.
That didn't get disintegrated or
anything? No, did everything got disintegrated? There's nothing here. It's just dust.
Okay, yeah.
Wasp dust.
Unfortunate.
No, I think it would either be like a nature or a survival, I think. Yeah.
I'll try a nature check. Not the worst at it. Oh, 19.
This creature came from Bellum.
Oh, lovely.
This is one of the ever-present threats. You've not seen it yourself before. You've heard rumors of these kind of things. You think they're called an Ifrat. But that's about it, really. So, a not good demon.
Cool.
Correction, it's not a demon. It's technically an evil little fey creature. But it comes from Bellum. It inhabits the bodies of things it finds nearby. It can also inhabit living bodies, should it want to. And will basically dissolve you from the inside out. And usually like a puppet. So, yeah. This is not pleasant. It can be exceptionally dangerous. It has access to all kinds of weird powers, which you guys didn't get to see, so I can't tell you about anymore.
Thanks, Raul.
Like one of the cool creatures I could have like destroyed you with. No.
You'll do better next time.
I remember next time more than one.
No.
It's okay. Raul's good against hordes too.
V, that she one well. Thing had over like 200 health.
It had a significant amount. It had... No, I'm not going to tell you what it has. It had a lot. I'm just going to give it
up. If it was just the three of us, I think it would have given us a run for our money.
Yeah, the fact that you stunned it so it automatically failed all of Jens's hits. Yeah. It's not difficult to hit. It has a lot of hit points. Its melee attacks are pretty lame, but it has a very limited magic pool. It only got to cast one of its four spells.
And that solidifies one of my decisions in the future.
Obviously, I'm not going to be able to stunning strike everything. No, I lucked out that thing doesn't have a good con because it's fucking dead.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. So what do you guys want to do? Are you guys going to find somewhere to camp tonight? Are you going to push through the night or...
Is it nighttime already or I guess...
Basically, the sun was going down as you had this fight. It wasn't a particularly long fight, but it was enough.
Okay. Well, we should find somewhere secure again to make camp.
Hmm. Okay. Probably you don't really find anywhere. This tunnel seems to like this tunnel in like the greenery seems to go on quite a way. By the time that it kind of clears out, the sun has gone down. You can't see very well. And you find a little area which is kind of dry-ish. The kind of like trees themselves, like the kind of like the weird tunnel effect that just happened, it begins to peter out. And by the time you clear through it, you can see this kind of like swampy, marshy area ahead of you, like a couple of hours ahead, especially those with dark vision. Rao, you can't see so little. You can see like the swamps ahead of you. You can see there are little like little groves and like kind of vines that hang across these trees, but they're kind of far off in the distance. You estimate in the only dry area for like a while. It's not really covered, but it's the only place you can be able to stop and rest properly. You kind of have like the tree barrage behind you, and you kind of have a swamp in front of you. You're about as protected as you probably could get. And also beggars can't be choosers. That's about what you have. Okay, you guys set up camp there. Is there anything anyone wishes to do or speak to or deal with?
Yes.
Okay. Raul, what do you want to do?
He's making things out of wood still.
Okay.
That's what he's going to do. He's just idling. I can't think of if he has anything else that he is on his list to do. He's gone over the book so many times that I don't think that.
I'm going to throw your lifeline next episode because I think we're running an hour or so more on this one.
Oh, then maybe you want to end it now because what I'm going to do is going to be a bit of a thing.
Okay,
why don't you go first?
About an hour.
Why don't you go first?
Okay,
and then
why don't you guys tell me what you want to do and then I'll decide whether we finish here or not because what you think may be a big thing, I may just go like, yeah, they're not going to tell you anything.
Oh, no, because I'm going to ask Raul all about Demarius.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you might want to end it.
Okay, right, yeah. Casey, is there anything you'd like to do?
I don't know how that conversation's going to go. It might be quick.
Drink that clear liquor or whatever it was that I was given by Jens because holy shit, Raul's a ghost sometimes now.
Are you and Jens going to have like on top of the cart just having a drinking sesh like, We've seen things, man. We've seen things.
Are you moonlighting it right now? Is that what's going on?
She and I are bonding over alcohol and, yeah.
And Ral.
And terror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to say, like, we basically end out this session with Zoltana and Jen sitting on the cart or up on the top of the cart, the very top of the cart, like the cupboard next section, whatever. You guys are just hang out there drinking and talking, and at some point you'll, like, meander to bed because, you know, you want to talk to Adair if it's possible. Jen's will just stay up drinking a bit more and reading her myriad of stuff. White Needle Homer is again patrolling. He seems to be very much in his element now that the moon is out. He's much happier in the darkness. He's a happy, cheerful chappy just wandering around and checking in on things, and he gives you guys your space. And we close out this scene on Raoul and Balance basically sitting around a fire about to chat. Technically, Zoltana, you are within range for hearing them when they do have this conversation. So, okay.
Hi, everyone. Raoul here. I didn't mean to scare you earlier. Sorry about that. Thank you for listening to the show. We hope you are enjoying. If you have not yet checked out the Kino Backstories episode that has just released, go check that out. These have been very fun to make. If you would like to support the show, you can actually go to patreon.com/tldpod to help support the show. And some of our patrons actually get early access to the Kino campaign. So if you want to be 2 episodes, 2 months ahead of everyone else and help us to improve things such as our show quality, helping us cover the many expenses it takes to make the show. Everyone who is supporting us, we are so grateful for. So thank you all so very much for your support. If you cannot afford to help us out on Patreon, that is okay. You can always help us out by going to iTunes or wherever you download your podcasts and leaving a nice review so that others might find us. And we really love to hear the nice things that you all have to say. So thank you all to everyone who has reviewed us. Thank you to our supporters on Patreon. We hope that you all are enjoying the Kino campaign. We are excited that you guys are now getting to hear that. So if you have not already, go and check out the Reckless Play Guild on Facebook. That is our kind of super group Facebook thing that we are a part of. We're there. Go to Facebook and look us up there. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at TLDpod. You can find us on email at theluckydiepodcast@gmail.com. You can also come and hang out with us on our Discord server, where we love to chat with you guys. You can find a link to that on our Twitter page. Once again, thank you all so much for listening and for your support. We hope you enjoy the Kino campaign as we start that going here. And we will see you guys next time. Bye.
Greetings, fantasy fans. I'm Lenny Swifthands from the comedy D&D podcast, Legion of Renob.
Dragonface. From that too.
Dragonface, do you remember when we interrogated that guy?
Yeah, he sure hated getting kicked in the nuts.
So you guys are surrounding this one mage.
Let's do good cop, bad cop, Dragonface.
I agree.
Oh. Hey there, son. What's your name?
I kick him in the nuts.
My name is... Oh!
All right. Ugh. To keep my buddy away from you, just tell me everything I need to know. Who you work for? Who were those guys?
We're the Bad Barians.
Bad Barians.
Good times, good times. Whatever happened to that guy? He's looking pretty cool, dude.
The listener will have to find out by listening in at legionofrenob.com. R-E-N-O-B, a comedy D&D podcast.
It's honor backwards.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my 2 wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.